God invented work, and he said it was a good thing. He did all this before the fall, before sin, so work is something that's from God. Also, God instituted the Sabbath, what we call a rest day within the week, where God said work is good, but also rest is good. Now, on top of that, what we're going to be looking at today is actually this idea that God instituted festivals and said these are good as well. Now, some people have this idea that Jesus must have been super boring and never really happy. And they think, well, since Jesus was sinless and he was so spiritual, that meant that he had to be somehow dull and boring and not enjoy life. And that's just not really true. So today we're going to look at this idea of festivals, that they're a good thing, and that Jesus took part in festivals as well. So, for a starting spot, we're looking at John chapter 4, verse 44 and 45. We had seen that Jesus had been in Jerusalem, he left Judea, went through Samaria, coming to Galilee, and then went to his hometown of Nazareth, where he proceeded to make people very unhappy with his theological views, and this is where we are right now. Jesus himself had testified that a prophet has no honor in his own hometown, and when he arrived in Galilee, the people there welcomed him. So in Nazareth, the city which was in Galilee, they had not, but in the other cities around Galilee, they did. And they had been at the Passover festival in Jerusalem and had seen everything he did there. Now, what was Jesus doing at the festival? We see in the Bible that he was teaching and that he was performing signs, and that the people are excited because they're thinking this might be that Messiah that they've been looking for. So let's look at what these festivals were. God told the people in Leviticus chapter 23, he outlined seven appointed times, or we now see as festivals. So in those seven appointed times, God said, hey, you're not supposed to be doing work, and here's times to celebrate or to remember the stuff that God had done. The first one was Passover. This looks back to the time frame of when the Jews had been in Egypt, they were in slavery, and God sent 10 plagues on the Egyptians as a way of trying to encourage them, let my people go. And the last of those plagues, God said he was going to send an angel of death that was going to kill the firstborn, but he said, if you take the blood of a lamb and put that over your door, then the death angel will pass over, thus Passover, would pass over your house, and then you wouldn't die. And so this picture of Passover is salvation from slavery, and also a restraining of judgment, where God would not send judgment on you, but instead would save them from slavery. Now, Passover was a one day, or really one night event. But then directly following that was the second one. It was called the Festival of Unleavened Bread. And what that reminded them of was the haste with which they had to leave Egypt. So after the Egyptian Pharaoh says, fine, go, leave, all the people are packing up their stuff very quickly and have to go. And as they celebrated that in the future, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, they were not allowed to eat anything that had yeast or leaven in it.
So you have the Passover one night, you have the Feast of Unleavened Bread, but then whenever you started to have your grain harvest, the very first one, no matter what week of the year that was, when you have your harvest getting ready, you're supposed to take some of that, but don't eat any of it yet. And then you have a Sabbath day, which would be a Saturday, and then the first day after the Sabbath, which would be on a Sunday, you are supposed to bring in those first fruits. You're supposed to bring the first part of your harvest, celebrating to God, hey, we're going to have a harvest this year. What was next was called the Feast of Weeks, or the Feast of Pentecost. That came 50 days after the Feast of First Fruits, and that was supposed to mark the end of the wheat harvest. So people got excited about that, and we saw a few weeks ago, we see that also in the New Testament when the Holy Spirit comes upon people, comes upon Jesus' disciples. Jumping later into the year into what would be the Jewish seventh month, you had the Feast of Trumpets, where people blow trumpets, and that's actually the end of the agricultural year, as well as kind of a wrapping up of some of the festival stuff. 10 days after the Feast of Trumpets, you have the Day of Atonement. I mean, we call it a festival, but this one isn't as festive. This was much more a solemn day. It's a one day, and the people are supposed to come to the temple. They're supposed to fast that day. So instead of a feast, you're not eating food. They hear the law that's read out, and then there's the sacrifice that is made, and the high priest, that one day of the year, goes into the Holy of Holies, the holiest place that they had, and they sprinkled that on the atonement seat as showing God having mercy on his people. It was a very special day, but it was a more solemn day. But then 5 days after that, they got to have a big party. And that was the Feast of Tabernacles came 5 days afterward. This was to remember the time frame where they had left Egypt, they had crossed through the river, and then they lived in tents for 40 years getting into the Promised Land. So what they were supposed to do for the Feast of Tabernacles was they would build up these tents or booths or their own little tabernacles. People lived outside for that week. There's lots of food involved, and it was a fun time. I was talking with Christine this week. I was like, you know what? It would be kind of cool sometime to maybe, as a family, once our kids are growing up, to go 1 year through these Jewish feasts, and that way they get to have a feel of it. And then as I've been walking around in my neighborhood, I noticed that some of the Dutch people already had me beat because they all have their party tents out for the World Cup soccer event. So they're all excited about the Feast of Tabernacles, it seems. It might be for a couple weeks. I also feel like the Feast of Tabernacles is for all of those of you who love camping. If you're the camping family, you're like, this is the perfect time of year. We go outside and we get to eat a lot of food. For those of you who hate camping, you're afraid of this sort of a thing. So we have these seven Jewish feasts that God had put out in Leviticus 23. Now, the Jewish people actually, through the generations that came after that, didn't always do very well at it. So even though they were supposed to celebrate these, they didn't celebrate them all of the time. And sometimes they'd be forgotten for years, and then there'd be a king who finds the law, reads it, and says, hey, we need to start celebrating again. But by the time we got to Jesus, they were having these feasts more regularly. And we do see in Jesus' life, Jesus took part in feasts. We see some of these. Luke chapter 2, Jesus is 12 years old, and he went to the Passover. In John chapter 2, which we'd also seen, Jesus went to the Passover just at the beginning of his ministry. In John chapter 5, we're told that Jesus went to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. We're not told which one. John chapter 7, we're told that he went to the Feast of Tabernacles. In John chapter 10, verse 22, we're told he went to the Feast of Dedication. And then in all of them, at the end of Jesus' life, in each one of the Gospels, we're told about Jesus celebrating the Passover right before he's crucified, as well as plenty of Sabbath days that we're told about in between. So Jesus obviously took part in Jewish feasts and said, hey, this is a good thing. Not just him, but we see someone like Paul, who was an apostle afterward. And even though he tells us in Romans and also in Colossians, hey, don't let anyone judge you, and don't judge other people by what special days they do or don't celebrate. But at the same time, Paul had talked at least about the Feast of Pentecost, saying, hey, I want to get to celebrate that. So it seems like Paul was totally willing to do some of the celebrating, even though he tells us it's not a requirement of being a Christian. So I went through all of that to get to some of these points. I've had friends who are really against modern day holidays that we have. I had people who, growing up, they never celebrated Christmas. They said, that's not in the Bible, that's not a good thing. They seemed a little suspect of Easter as well because of some origins that there could be. They're also the kind of people who didn't celebrate birthdays, didn't celebrate anniversaries. They're just, we just don't celebrate. And, you know, that's totally okay if you want to do that, but I don't think that is a requirement. Here's the reason why. John chapter 10, verse 22. I mentioned this quickly, but I want to look at it one more time. He says, it's now winter, and Jesus was in Jerusalem at the time of Hanukkah, the festival of dedication. He was in the temple. Now, how many of you knew that Jesus celebrated Hanukkah? You normally don't even think about it that much. So, Hanukkah, or the Feast of Dedication, it's not the Jewish form of Christmas, even though they do happen both in December. But what they were celebrating is something that happened about 165 years earlier. There had been this bad guy named Antiochus Epiphanes. He had come into the temple and desecrated it. And then there were good guys, Judas Maccabees and some of his buddies. They came in, got rid of him, and they rededicated the temple, cleansed the temple so it could be used the way that God wanted it to be used. And that's what they celebrate. And Jesus went to the temple and was there during the celebration. The reason why I think this is important is this. We went through that list of seven feasts that God said you have to celebrate these. Hanukkah is not on that list. And Jesus celebrated it anyway. We don't see Jesus going up saying, don't celebrate this. It's not in the Bible. You're not supposed to do it. This actually happened afterward. No, Jesus recognizes it as a day that is honoring God, and he celebrates it. So today, as we are celebrating, here's mainly what I want you to see. Let's celebrate what God has done. Let's honor God in what he is doing. And if you're the kind of person who doesn't like to celebrate your birthday, then don't see it as a celebration of your life, but a celebration of the life of God inside of you. See, what we should be doing as a people is not finding excuses to isolate ourselves. We should be finding excuses to be involved in one another's lives, excuses to celebrate God's goodness, because it's much more fun that way. So as our power verse says, 1 Corinthians 2:12, we've not received this world spirit. Instead, we receive the spirit sent by God so we might know all that he's given us. And as we learn more and more what he's given us, we celebrate it and we get excited about it. So, Jesus' life step. This is going to be the easiest one you've probably had all year. Join someone in celebrating that God's taking care of us, that God's providing for us. For those of you who are going to stick around for the party afterward today, you should be able to fully do the Jesus Life Step today. Right after service, you have the perfect chance. This will be great. Now, but that does mean you actually have to celebrate it. How many of you have seen people who go to a party and they sit around and they look unhappy? And they're like, I don't want to be here. That doesn't count as celebrating. If you're going to celebrate with us, then you have to be, you should smile, right? And you should talk to other people and tell them, praise God for his goodness. So that's the one that you have to do. Okay, I'm done. That's the sermon. Zip it. We're over.